Welcome to the Age Stage. In this, our second episode, yes, we're back again, folks, of the series. My name is Vicky Barber, and behind the controls we have Brody Gouzet. Hi, Brody.
How are you, darling? You well?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
You're looking very svelte today.
Oh, thank you very much. Spring has sprung,
it has.
I haven't got big coats and etc. on. It's been
we're going to have a warm couple of days, but then it's going to get a bit average, I think.
Oh, always the bearer of good news, Brody.
Sorry.
How's your week been? Father's Day?
It's been great. I had a terrific Father's Day. I was taken to Polperro's. Have you heard of Polperro's?
No, I haven't.
It's very, very smart. And the trouble is, though, my daughter, who's, I love her to death, she didn't book. So we arrived. And
well, how very Melbourne of her.
Yes, absolutely. You go and sit outside. And it was freezing, but they gave us all blankets. So we all sat
there.
Oh,
how lovely.
We looked like we're all wearing burkas.
Oh, beautiful.
It was very funny, but it was great fun. You?
Me? Well, we had to celebrate Father's Day a little bit earlier. My husband jetted off to China for work, so we celebrated on Saturday at a local gourmet burger place.
Nice.
We do like a good burger.
We got a full show this week.
We've got a full show. First of all, we're going to chat with Peter Nilsson and Stuart Shaw again about retirement living here on the peninsula, and they'll give us some insights about village life. And why, for some people, it's the ideal solution in your later years. Peter's then followed by Damien Fleming, our resident guru on all matters to do with health. And today we'll talk to him about age-indicative illnesses. And then I believe it's an old friend of yours is coming on the show, Brody.
This is true. Today we have Adam. Now, Adam Ford comes on to the Brekkie Show that Brendan and I do on a Monday morning.
Right.
And he's always gallivanting around the world. So I set him the task and I said, what can you do in terms of explaining about travel to our seniors in the sense of if they form a group?
Oh,
so,
right.
For example, do you get one free ticket if you get 10 of you as opposed, you know, you might get that sort of discount, or do you order taxis instead of minibuses and all that sort of stuff that you have to think
about. Oh, so he's going to give some pointers.
So he's going to give us some pointers to that. After that, Noel Watson, who was on our first introductory week, he's coming back to talk about some automotive issues and give us an insight into selection of a car because, you know, and you get to your retirement age and what happens, you think you roll it over every 3 years, the company takes your car away, gives you the keys of a new BMW. Suddenly it comes out of your own pocket. It doesn't get rolled over quite so easily. So we'll be talking to him. Now, in the meantime, we better go to a music track and we will get ourselves ready to talk with Stuart and Peter. So what's our first track?
Well, I like to have a theme, as you know, Brody. So today the music is all based around TV shows in the 60s. So I'm sure our listeners will remember them. The shows were based around the band or the performer. Now, this TV show aired between 1966 and 68 and based around a group of guys who basically really wanted to be the Beatles but weren't that successful. So they sold over 75 million records
internationally. I think I can guess who this is.
I'm hoping you can. And in 1967, they outsold the Beatles and the Rolling Stones combined. Do you think you know who it may be?
The Rabbits.
The Monkees.
The Monkees.
Close. With Daydream Believer.
Lovely.
Okay, and now we're going to meet with Peter Nilsson and Stuart Shaw, who are from local retirement villages here on the peninsula. Peter, I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about your village and why people may consider going there.
Oh, yes. Vicky, thank you. And good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think there are many and varied reasons why people think of a village. In lots of ways, villages recreate what the suburbs were like in the 60s, which is when I grew up in the 60s. And the suburbs were safe places with communities and people were pretty engaged with their communities. Unfortunately, that's not true of now, I don't believe. Maybe in some suburbs, but clearly the world's moved on. In most families, husbands and wives work and the suburbs are different places. So the village Lennon and the village Baxter and other villages I've visited in lots of ways recreate what our residents used to enjoy when their children were growing up, and as I say, it's an engaged community.
So a close-knit community.
Yeah, close-knit community.
People knowing what's going on and who's next door and...
Yeah, correct, and socialisation opportunities. I recall when I first started at the village way back in 1993, one of the first things I saw which really impressed me was one of our residents was rushed to hospital. And she came home some days later and on her front porch was a casserole.
Oh, how lovely.
And that's, you know, in a simplistic way, that's what I'm talking about, is how people are there.
They're looking out for each other.
They're looking out for each other. And what villages offer is clearly staff to help people live their lives to the fullest, including nurses on call and all those sort of things. But there's two levels of care in a village. One, the first level of care is clearly what the staff provide, and the residents pay for that in their monthly charge. But there's another level of care which is provided resident to resident, and that's what the general public don't see. It's what we see, Stuart, isn't it? We see that all the time.
Hi, Vicky. Hi, Brady.
Hi, Stuart.
It is about companionship.
Yeah.
And just that whole sense of community belonging, which unfortunately has gone out of a broader society. And I think that's one of the great features about retirement villages, like-minded people who want to, you know, grow gracefully or disgracefully together, as the case may be, and have fun and enjoy their senior years. Mm. I think that's one of our real features.
But every village would have that.
Absolutely, as a
function. So in your marketing space, what are your unique offerings? If I go and see both of you, am I going to come away saying, I could go to both? Or am I going to say, I would rather go to one or the other?
The vast majority of villages are good, well-run villages that provide companionship, friendship, a range of activities. It simply depends on what's going to suit your particular lifestyle. I mean, both Village Glen and Village Baxter are larger communities. You'd have 800 people.
Yeah, 760, yeah. 760,
and,
yep.
And we've got 650 people living on site.
So they're rather large communities within the community.
Yeah,
as well.
Mm. Effectively a small suburb in its own right. And by our size, we can provide a broader range of activities and broader amenities than a smaller village can. But it's simply horses for courses.
So what would some of the amenities be at the village?
We each have full-size bowling green. Peter's got a golf course.
We've got a bowling green which is have a pennant bowls team, so you can play competition bowls for the Village Glen against other teams.
Other teams come and play.
Absolutely,
and
and we've got a golf course, which is a bit unusual. We're lucky to have the land to do that.
But it is very impressive.
Is it nine holes?
Nine-hole par three.
Fantastic.
And it's not a pitch and putt. It's a serious little golf course designed by Wolveridge Thompson. So well-designed little golf course.
Fantastic.
And I suppose that to Chaz's credit, the owner of the village, he wanted to put that in the village. He could have built units there, chose not to. Put a golf course for the residents, which was a great initiative, I thought. Mm-hmm. Swimming pools, gymnasiums, libraries, all the things you'd find in the general community you'd find in a village. And in essence, the villagers run their own affairs. The village residents run their own affairs. We as management don't run those facilities.
So
they run like clubs.
Individuals like can run it,
computer
run
clubs,
the tennis
Scrabble,
or run
snooker,
the golf,
yep,
etc.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
You know, you think of an activity and it would occur in a village, but they run residents run their own shops.
Mm. Oh, their own shops.
There we have shops on site.
How does that work?
It's like a milk bar.
It's like the corner milk bar.
And they run it?
Yes. The
residents run it. They have a local arrangement with the supermarket.
Yep.
The supermarket looks after the residents. They deliver in bulk to us, and we just act as a reseller.
And then the resident can just go down and purchase bread, milk, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a typical corner shop.
Yep. Oh, how fantastic.
You know, good old-fashioned corner shops.
And staffed by volunteers who are residents. And the profit that generates, the residents get to run their activities.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm. Have you noticed any getting slightly overweight?
Well, I know I am.
Yeah, look, just breathe in at this moment. thank you, Brady.
Looking after the shop. Stop my wife.
But it's a very self-sustainable model then as well, isn't it? You know, you've got the community sense.
And it shouldn't be taken that, you know, you need to shop in the village. I mean, we each provide a village bus to pick up the local public transport. So in our case, we go down to Frankston and Coringle Hub to pick up the shopping centres. So people have the opportunity
to go out and about. Your own bus your village can take you to the shopping centres, etc. Yeah. So you can do your large-scale shopping. Or
if you just need, you run out of bread, you just need to go down to the corner store, it's within the village.
In our case, the local community bus, which is now public transport, comes through the village every hour from 8 till 5, 6 days a week.
Wow.
So we don't have a bus because public transport actually comes through the village.
Yeah. And we'd kill for that.
I'll bet. That's a big selling point,
yes.
Isn't it?
It is. It's a wonderful, and it's a gold coin to Rosebud, so it's a dollar.
Wow. It reduces that need for a vehicle as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So, look, we have a saying at the village, Glenn. We're talking about community and what is a village. We say, really, We are just another street in another suburb with wonderful services.
Do you have a pub?
No.
Oh, well, there you go. Can
you buy a tipple at the local shop?
You certainly can in the village, Baxter, yes.
Oh, really?
You can.
Oh, so your little village shop is licensed?
We have a license we're promoting our cafe now for residents to come in and drop in, and it is licensed.
Well, that's always lovely if they've got family or friends popping in and can take them there to the cafe as well to sort of say.
And I've eaten in Stuart's Cafe and it's just great. It's lovely.
Are the residents the sort of social architects themselves?
We would always say people can be as isolated as they would choose to be, mm-hmm. if you want to lock yourself up away from the broader world, or you can be as outgoing and engaged as you would like to be. There is something for everybody in each of our communities, and that's the strength of them, that whilst it's congregate living, you still have your own independence, but you have a support network around you that can look after you when you need it.
Mm. Do you both have meals service as well?
We do.
Yes.
Right. Okay, so
we have two restaurants, a restaurant and a cafe on site, and the restaurant 7 days a week, 10 till 4, and the cafe's 7 days a week, and the restaurant's Wednesdays and Thursday nights, which, as does Stuart, it's bring your own grog and have a night out. So it's a la carte restaurant.
Right.
And we have probably 100 guests each occasion a night.
But that's a lovely social gathering.
But you don't have a, for want of a better description, a meals on wheels service.
We deliver meals to people's homes.
Oh, you do? Okay.
We have a community care arm, and we take meals within the village and also outside the village.
Okay. Mm.
And we've done that for a long time.
And likewise at the village, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So if I just can't be bothered to cook anymore, I can eat.
Yes. Okay. Meals will be delivered to you. Nice. Or we would still promote the aspect of socialisation, particularly. But what we find with our meal service is, particularly if you are a single person, you're unlikely to cook a roast meal now. Well, we can provide a roast meal to you any day of the week. So come out, have the socialisation, and have the meals that you're used to, because a single person is not going to sit there, cook a roast for one.
No, that's true.
So, you know,
so you're offering that opportunity for them to be able to socialise, as you said, have a good meal, keep their health up as well.
And talking about community, Brodie, I mean, one of the things that just happened, our residents have formed what they call the Friendship Club. Mm-hmm. Now, the Friendship Club are single people who've lost their partner and looking to engage with other people in that sort of environment, so they go to the restaurant as a group. So if you went to dinner on your own, the Friendship Club will ask you to join them.
Right. Oh, that's lovely. Mm.
So it's not a dating agency?
No. It could be. We have had weddings in the village, my gosh.
Have you?
Have you really? It's been quite a number.
Romance has blossomed.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, that's lovely.
We have to bid you farewell, and you have to drift over to Europe.
I do.
Yes, Peter.
Which is a wonderful thing.
I'm going on a modern retirement village.
I'm going on
a cruise.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, listen,
you'll be well fed on the cruise, I'm sure.
You have a fantastic trip, won't you?
Thank you.
And we'll very much look forward to you coming back. Stuart, you're stuck with us, I'm afraid, buddy, while he's away. But we look forward to seeing you next week.
I'll try and cope. no difficult questions, Vicky.
We'll try. We'll
Skype him.
I'll put you on phone.
We'll Skype him. Hear this. Now hear this. Terrific. All right, guys. Lovely to see you. And we will see you in how many weeks?
Six.
Oh, enjoy, Peter.
Have a tequila.
And I'll see you next week.
See you next week, Stuart.
Thanks, Brodie.
Thank you. Bye.
Welcome back to The Aged Age. This is Brodie Gousset with the delicious and incredibly intellectual Vicky Bupp.
Well, that's a lovely introduction.
Managing events for us. And we have a third member in the studio with us today, none other than Damien Fleming. Damien, he is a well-known person to our listeners, often talks on matters of great import, and he is our specialist to all to do matters health. Welcome to sitting on the other side, because you're often sitting where I'm sitting.
I normally are, but no, thank you for allowing me to join in on this lovely aged environment.
It is a great environment, and it's a very complex one. Of course, it's time when all sorts of things start to go wrong. We start to rot on the vine, which is all very, very sad. What are the big things that that start to fall over, the major ones.
Well, look, we're all living a little bit longer and longer than ever before at the end of the day, and as a result, you know, things start to ferment a little bit further on the vine, as you said. So,
what a wonderful analogy.
just to tie in with you there, Brody. I mean, look, literally, I think our listeners would all be very familiar with it, but at a younger age, these things are all starting to affect more people more often earlier. So we're talking arthritis, we're talking heart disease, we're talking cancers, respiratory problems, let alone osteoporosis and all the other allied health with the diabetes, falls risks, even substance abuse and mental health issues of depression and anxieties.
Well, when you lose a partner, of course, all that sort of stuff cuts in. And there's, of course, quite a lot of divorce at our age too, isn't there?
Well, it is, sadly. It's people get to that, you know, lovely 60, 70 degree age group and they start thinking, well, I've got better choices out there. But splitting your assets financially can be quite devastating,
yeah.
Let alone all the other medical complications, as you say.
When you should have started doing your prostate years before this, you know, it's 50, isn't it, when you're supposed to...
Well, look, I say even earlier. I mean, at the age of 40, people should start to get a PSA and having a good relationship with their GP. I mean, people often think about...
Under the circumstances.
I was about to say.
A good relationship is very handy in that situation in particular.
We won't go there.
Well, you should go there. I mean, the reality is people need to get checked up regularly. And if you're not keeping a good check of your body from an early age, well, how do you expect to do it at an older age? We can all try and catch up with it, but once the horse is bolted, it's very hard to catch up.
Where's all that bravado thing, you know? Won't happen to me, isn't it?
Well, that's why the government at the age of 50 sends you a little white cup with a brown lid to check for bowel cancer. And if you haven't already done it, please go ahead and do
so. I thought it was an eye wash.
Look, unfortunately, it's bowel cancer is quite aggressive and without early detection. And the whole reason for those little samples is to find small traces of blood in your bowel excrement.
Right.
And without finding that early, people can actually die from bowel cancer rather early.
It's a quick onset, is it?
It's very aggressive and undetected otherwise.
It's a cheery thing,
isn't it?
It's
primarily through diet but also exercise. You know, we're told that sitting is the new smoking, so to speak, and being sedentary. So I imagine just keeping moving, no matter what your age is, so to speak.
Well, this leads to the basic principles of healthcare these days. It's about maintaining your activity to the best of your ability at all purpose and time, whether it be your memory function for your brain or the brain testing actions that are being put out as applications. When you talk about cancers, I mean, sadly, we've got some of the highest rates. Now, we still don't know an absolute cause for that. We tend to say it's a lack of fibre in people's diets, but it's also the Western diets we have, high sugar, high fat, high salt.
I reckon it's sugar too.
And look, I have it come from a particular interest in heart disease, and we know for a clinical fact that if you have high fat and high sugar and high salt in your diet, you are going to have heart disease. And it's not why it's the number one leading killer for people over the age of 60 in our country, second to cancers and all cancers. So people really need to start taking care of their body. And I like to use the analogy that if you had one car in your life, you'd look after it. But you only ever have one body. So you really do need to pay attention and get it checked up regularly. Get it looked after. And look after yourself.
So should you be visiting your GP from the age of 40 or so annually for a checkup, other than, you know, if you have an issue that you feel that you need to visit, etc.?
Of course. Look, we recommend at least twice a year. I mean, you don't get to know partners and friends without meeting them on a regular basis. And sometimes it's just a checkup. So we say every 6 months to go and see your GP for that checkup. Sometimes it might be a blood test. Sometimes it might be about ailments. But particularly the mental health issues that we have, we've got the highest rate. I think 25% of the population have some sort of anxiety or depression. And without understanding what a basic normality is for you, then it's hard for your GP to really get a handle on what's appropriate. And I say partnering with them in your ongoing healthcare, it's using them like a resource. People use plumbers to fix their house, and why not use your GP to fix your health?
Yes, of course. And we often go to the dentist twice a year. We'll get our little letter about you need a scrape and polish or whatever they want to call it. But at that time, we should be heading off to the GP for a bit of a checkup as well.
Well, it allows you to have those conversations on a more regular basis, even if it's just twice a year. You book your car in for a service, we'll want to book your body in for one too.
And when we're talking about mental health, Damien, there's some issues there that we can prevent some of those those problems occurring. You were mentioning apps, like there's, you know, all these brain teaser apps, etc. out. You highly recommend utilizing some of those, or
I love using them. And there's a lot of free ones. There's a lot of paid ones out there. But the general reality is, if you're doing things that you haven't done before, it stimulates your gray matter. And right. by keeping active, as you said, physically and mentally, you're allowing your body to adapt to new scenarios more often. And we find that that creates better neural pathways and enables them to be active for longer. So the more flexible you are physically and the more flexible you are mentally, I guess that enables you to be a bit more resilient in the greater world. And I'm sure it's the most experienced people in the community will tell us, the more you've seen, the easier it is to cope with. Down the track.
Have a pet. I think you need to have a dog. Well, they keep dying after 12 years, or they stop walking at least. So, it gets a bit depressing. But
as you get older, you tend to get a lot of friends that die and they start to move on. So maybe pets is a good way of preparing for that in the future.
Yes, it's but you can't get a friend to come up and sit on your lap, can you really?
Well, you can fetch your money, right? Maybe you can, right?
There either. The skeletal issues, the skeleton starts to break down. The trouble is that there's this dairy, you mustn't have whole milk and you mustn't have cheese and you mustn't have all the other bits and pieces, but that's the stuff that gives you the calcium which keeps your bones good, isn't it?
Well, look, it does, but you've also got to absorb it in the correct way. So if you don't have adequate amounts of vitamin D, and we're finding a lot of research about the skin cancer campaigns with the slip, slop, slap, we've done very well in covering up, but unfortunately you do need a small amount of vitamin D
because you need the sun to process.
It helps break it down, yeah. Helps your body absorb it, and helps it get deposited in your bones in the correct manner. But I guess the issue is you also need resistance. And if people aren't active in their care and active in their day-to-day, and that's why the Aging Well programs at a lot of gyms, a lot of retirement villages are extremely good about getting people to use low-resistant weights, whether it be rubber bands, maybe even the odd small dumbbell, and getting people active moving in their lifestyle actually helps build that resilience for osteoporosis.
And that's bone and muscular.
Bone and muscle. Yeah, yes. You've got to use it.
Use it or lose it.
That is the theory, yeah. The old life be in it activity. Get off the couch and start being active.
It's easier said than done, though. I know, and I'm as bad as it. My beloved, she's always walking and straining. She's terrific. She really is. But I find it so boring. I find exercise really, really boring.
Well, I guess it's not just exercise, though, is it, Brody? It's about becoming active in your day-to-day life and incorporating some regular activity.
Well, that's why I listen to audiobooks, so I can walk and listen and, you know, it does something. But just walking, just looking at the, oh, hello, this. And people want to talk to you. They go, hello, good morning, how are you?
Oh, that's me, Brody. I'm always saying hello on my walks.
Yeah, that'd be right. Well, that's why I don't.
Well, if I see you, I won't say hello.
Well, Damien, it's been fantastic to have you in here, buddy. We hope we can get you in every other week or so.
Every couple of weeks, I'll be able to drop in, and we might do some specific stuff with regards to some of those diseases we talked about with dementia and Alzheimer's, some osteoporosis and some oral health issues.
Brilliant.
And we'll be able to continue this conversation every fortnight.
And I'm not sure that our next track is very apt.
Oh, it may not be our next track.
Under the circumstances. But it's your choice. So,
well, it is my choice.
I'm going to play it.
Are you going to play it? Will I say? Will I explain a little bit about it?
No, I think we should keep it hushed. I don't think we should tell anyone because it's a naughty word. Okay. And welcome back, sugar, sugar, sugar. That was interesting.
It was in follow-up of being healthy.
Well, you know, one of the sweetest things in life you can do, though, of course, is travel. That is a sweet thing. And it is permissible. And that's why we have Adam with us today. Adam is Adam Ford is a travel expert par excellence is the description that I will use.
Wow!
And he has his own travel business, and he'll give us all the details for that when we have finished having a chat with him. But Adam, welcome to the show. This is your first time here, and we greatly appreciate the fact.
Hello, Brody. Hello, Vicky. So it's nice to come on. Good for my ego. I've told you that.
Now, I know this isn't really in your travel sphere. I understand that group travel is not necessary. Well, at least I'm assuming it's not necessarily in your bailiwick, although do you do group travel events?
Well, that's not actually quite true, Brody, because right. I did three series of a television show for Channel 10 called Tour of the World, and we travelled with groups all the time, Australian tour groups, for that particular experience. So I have quite a bit of first-hand experience with group travel, I've got to tell you.
Okay, I, when I was when I was suggesting that you didn't know anything about it, what I meant was is actually to do with the sort of elderly space or the pre-packaged. For example, is it true that if I go to an airline and I say I have got 10 people, that I can sort of expect to get one ticket for free?
You would be doing extremely well if you were able to convince an airline to do that. Convince an airline to do anything these days is actually quite tough. That's actually not true. Big companies obviously do have contracts with airlines like Qantas and Virgin and so on, but they have very big volumes. So, you know, for the average, for you or I to go to Qantas and say, look, we've got 10 people, what can you do? They'll probably say nothing. But if you're, you know, BHP or you're, you know, a big company that with a lot of business travel and that sort of stuff, they're obviously certainly going to do stuff for you. So it's hard with small groups for private organisers, travel organisers trying to organise a group trip, for example. The airlines, the airfare component of your trip is probably not somewhere that you're going to do particularly well in terms of movement on price.
But there may be other areas, Adam. Like
there may well be other areas, yeah, for sure, absolutely. Accommodation is one of them. That's always one that you can negotiate, and hotels are certainly more willing to negotiate than airlines will be. There are other ways you can do it. Sometimes you can organise, you know, for sort of 10 people to go on an organised tour, for example, and to get one spot for free and to spread that saving across the group. That's another possible way of doing it. I have heard of tour companies doing that. So, you know, I guess the golden rule is if you don't ask, you don't get. The airlines, I think you'll struggle, but certainly with other components of the trip, definitely worth asking.
I know that back in the old days, you know, when we paid full fare for everything, I think it's the discount fare that's probably killed off most of that opportunity, hasn't it? I mean,
the airlines have really sort of tightened up their business models. It's a lot tighter than it used to be. There's a lot less fat in it for them. Everything has been streamlined. Like everything in life, right? Everything has been tightened up, and you know, they've really cut back on all the excess. So, and I think it's paid off. You know, for example, Qantas just posting that massive profit. You know, they've really streamlined the business and really knuckled down on lots of the components of the business that were perhaps a bit loose. And now, obviously, things are much more streamlined. They're doing much better. And, of course, you've got, as you say, all of the budget airlines as well, which, you know, cut their overheads back to practically nothing. There's not a lot of movement there either. So in the old days, I think there was a bit more flexibility and a bit more negotiation power around. But these days, as I say, margins are tight. Things are pretty streamlined and pretty tight. So, yeah.
Okay, so here I am. I'm at a retirement village and I have... Ten of us. We've got. Let's assume there's. Let's make it even 20. So there's. No. We go back to 10. So that's easy enough. There's 10 of us, and we all decided that we want to go on. We want to go away. What are the sorts of things that we should be thinking about as a group of that size today?
There's a couple of things I'd probably suggest. I would probably talk to a good travel agent to begin with, because you're probably going to find that those agents have got some good relationships with tour companies. And if you're looking at an organised tour, so, you know, if you've got 10 people or even 15, even 20, that's quite a big group. So you've got a bit of clout there. And I think probably talking to a good travel agent who's going to have some good relationships with, you know, your Evergreen Tours or your Scenic Tours or, you know, your Cosmos or whoever you want to travel with, have a bit of a chat to a travel agent. They're going to have relationships with those companies, and they'll certainly go into battle for you and actually pitch something to the tour company and say, what can you do for this group? The tour company will come back and say, this is what we can do. I'd be surprised if there was a tour company around that wouldn't, you know, come to the party in some way, shape or form for a group of sort of 10 to 15, even 20 people. You might find that the travel agent has some inroads with the airlines, possibly a particular airline rep, for example, that they deal with, and they may be able to do something there. It's not outside the realm of the possibility. But again, you're going to need that relationship with the travel agent to have the relationship with the airline rep. So I think talking to a good agent is probably really beneficial in this particular example. You're going to find that they're going to have a lot of inroads. They're going to have relationships with the companies, and they'll be able to facilitate some of the sort of the discounted travel options that might be available.
Do you think that in terms of ground movements, it makes sense to try and sort of rent a guide or for to help you on a trip, particularly if you're in a foreign country?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had friends, older friends actually, some old neighbours that actually had a group travelling to Vietnam, and they made contact with a travel agent. This is another way of doing it, actually. They made contact with a travel agent in Vietnam who facilitated the trip, and that actually turned out to be quite a bit cheaper than dealing with a local company. Now, that requires a bit of a leap of faith in terms of dealing with a company you are overseas. In that example, they were based in, I think, Ho Chi Minh City. But I guess you've got to kind of have you've really got to do your research and feel reasonably confident with the company that you've decided to book with. You know, it's really about due diligence and checking reviews and checking, information about the company and all that sort of stuff if you want to go down that route. But they did save quite a bit doing it that way. So that, again, is something you might want to look at, perhaps in more established destinations, like Ho Chi Minh City or Hanoi, for example, perhaps not so much in smaller cities or in Chinese cities where there's language issues and all that kind of thing. So I think, that's definitely a possibility.
The transport is an issue. Turning up and ordering half a dozen taxis and all that all gets a bit of a nightmare. Can you order mini buses and all that sort of stuff? Are they readily available from airports?
Yeah, well, if you're travelling overseas, this is where the beauty of using a local operator, a ground operator, to do all that for you, because they'll arrange mini buses and they'll arrange, group transfers, and they'll arrange to pick you all up from the airport and transfer your luggage and drop you at your hotel and facilitate check-in and all that sort of stuff. I mean, if you're really doing it on your own and you're sort of doing it on the fly and booking transport as you go and that sort of thing, I think it'll be difficult. I mean, it'll be a struggle. You'd just be booking taxis or a minibus like anyone else, and sort of particularly for an overseas destination, that could be a big struggle with language and that sort of thing. So just having a ground operator to deal with all that kind of logistical stuff, I think, highly beneficial. If you're travelling in Australia, then you probably will find it a little bit easier to book group transport.
Yeah.
But certainly overseas, I think you'd find it pretty tough. So a ground operator is really going to be the way forward there, I think.
But you were saying going to a travel agent first up, Adam, is probably the best first step, so to speak. I mean, a lot of us are used to searching online for the best deal, etc. And I mean, even just for myself, is only a family of four, and that can be
handle. Yeah,
but if you've got a larger group,
you have to do your research first. You have to be well informed. That's one of the big keys about booking any sort of travel, is that you need to be well informed. But if you're not well informed and you don't know what's in the market, you don't know what sort of airfares are around, and you don't know what the tour companies are offering, you're really disadvantaged, and you kind of, I hate to say it, but you're leaving yourself up to being ripped off. So it's worth knowing what's around, and make it clear to the travel agent when you start talking to them that you've done your research and you know what's around.
Yes.
So that's really important. I think for organised tours and that sort of stuff with tour groups, you are better off going to a travel agent here in Australia. If you want to look at a more independent sort of itinerary, say in Vietnam or Thailand, do some research and see if you can find a local operator. That is actually going to be a lot cheaper than booking through an Australian company. I hate to say it, but it will be. But again, you've got to find one that's reputable and you're happy to deal with. So they're two slightly different things. If you want to do an organised group tour with an Australian tour company, for example, you want to pile onto a tour and head over to South America or whatever it is, then certainly talk to a travel agent here. If you want to do a sort of a more grassroots tour around the key cities of Vietnam, and you want to do it sort of as an independent group with the facilitation of a ground operator in Vietnam, then certainly research someone locally. As I say, do your research pretty thoroughly.
But have someone that you can call upon, I suppose, should something go awry as well.
Well, absolutely. That's so true. I mean, if you've got somebody involved that's actually looking after the group, at least you've got something to fall back on. Most tour companies, use local operators to do all the nuts and bolts. So really, you sort of just...
They've done the hard work for you.
So yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Brody.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so what are some of the popular destinations at the moment for... our listeners, anyway, for those who are a little bit older?
Look, I think European river cruising is always, is popular at the moment in that particular older age.
They do look nice on the ads, Adam.
Oh, they're stunning. And I have done one.
Have you?
Yeah. And it was absolutely the most amazing experience, I've got to say. Just sailing through old world Europe is a really amazing experience. And you would think with the number of advertisements that you see and the number of companies offering European river cruises that it would be, you know, very congested and crowded on the river. I felt like we had the entire river to ourselves.
Oh,
we saw a couple
magic.
Of other ships, yeah, but not as many as you would expect. So that's a really great experience. And look, it's not a cheap experience, I've got to say, but, you know, it is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's all-inclusive, and you really do get to visit all of those sort of old-world centres and just, you know, you unpack once, you do the cruise. Most of them go for about 14 days.
Very convenient.
It's a really easy way of travelling. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, it's on my bucket list, I do have to say. All right, Dubai, thank you so much for, A, joining the show, and, B, giving us your pearly words of wisdom, which are always, always well worth listening to. Where can we find out more about you?
Yeah, look, if anyone's interested in getting in touch, jump on the website, thebigbus.com.au, as in the big bus. There's lots of information there, lots of city guides, travel ideas, and, you know, I'm happy to answer destination questions and that sort of thing, and hopefully I'll come back on the show and discuss a few destinations with you.
Beautiful. We'll do that in a couple of weeks from now.
Wonderful.
All right, Dubai, thank you so much for being on the show, and we'll catch up with you in another 2 weeks.
My pleasure. Happy travel.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Now, I want to go on a river cruise.
Oh, so do I. So, absolutely. So next we have Noel Watson, who is our specialist on all matters to do with automotive. And again, he's going to be doing a segment every couple of weeks. But without further ado, here's Noel. We introduced a member of our team to our introductory show, the chap who is looking after all our automotive advice, a long-standing friend of mine and an expert in all matters to do with automotive. His name is Noel Watson. He doesn't live around the corner, which is all the sadness for us, but he is able to give us his time and expertise. So, Noel, welcome to the show. This is our first proper show of the Age Stage.
Good afternoon, Brody. Yes, it's fantastic to be involved with the program. I enjoyed it very much last week, and hopefully in the future we can peel back some mysteries and explore some territory that hasn't been explored, and hopefully give some advice. Some good advice to our listeners, and help them along the way. And I'm sure they've got lots of input that we don't know about as well. So, you know, it opens up a discussion piece for us.
Well, that's absolutely true, and I'm sure that people will be asking us questions through on our Facebook page, which is at RPP. Now, last week we talked about a range of issues, but we alluded to the fact that the marketplace was going to change, because we are finally shutting down our Australian production of motor vehicles in this country. What do you think that matters to the average retiree? I ask that on the basis that, obviously, in the old days, there were, you know, half the world was Ford and half the world was Holden, and then there were a couple of bits in between. But that doesn't change any. That doesn't work anymore, and now we've got a completely different environment for cars. Do you think it's that's damaged the relationship that people have with brands and cars generally?
Well, look, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, like, emotionally, I mean, you know, I'm just like you, I'm a true blue Aussie, and we really smart when our marketplace and our employers close down factories or businesses of any type. But Ford and Holden, been here a long time, made some outstanding products. Jeff Pilates, the late Jeff Pilates, the president, former president of Ford Motor Company, is probably one of the most innovative motoring people that the industry has ever enjoyed. But you know, it's, as I said, it's a double-edged sword. Moving forward, it opens up a new landscape for some of the European cars to come to us from Opel and other places, which will no doubt be on the General Motors Holden dealer outlet, and others through Korea, and also other places around the world. So look, it's a tough one. It really is a tough one. But I think it's exciting. It's all new to us. We've never had a manufacturing industry. And so it'll be okay, I think. I think we've got to reflect upon what happened to Nissan. We've also got to reflect upon what happened to Mitsubishi. And they were the first two to fall, if I can put it that way. And it's okay, you know. Those products have been replaced, the locally made products have been replaced with fantastic imported product. And so I'm hoping that the same thing will happen with Holden and Ford.
Do you think that we will have the same brand allegiance to things like Opel or whatever it comes out of Europe and anything from General Motors from out of America? Do you think there'll be that same belief that it's got that Aussie toughness?
Personally, I don't. I think that the brands will suffer. There'll be certainly a levelling. I mean, when you go from selling, and I'm plucking a figure out of the air, 100,000 units to selling 60,000 units, and you're dispersing it across many different varieties in that 60,000. I mean, you don't have the big Aussie six-cylinder, the big Aussie V8 sort of as the hallmark anymore. No, I think the brands will suffer a little bit, and the loyalty will certainly wane in the short term. But I'm hoping that the companies will be supported because, you know, there's an infrastructure underneath the dealership that we have to support as well, other industry altogether.
Will other brands that have broken out already, like Hyundai and those sorts of, do you think they will have gained strength in advance? Do you think that?
I think so. I think Hyundai is an amazing story. I mean, they have continue to break the ground, you know, with extended warranties, you know, up to 7 years now and all sorts of things. Mm. So Hyundai, Kia, they're magnificent motor cars. There's no two ways about it. I mean, their safety record is unbelievable now. You know, their NCAP rating is unbelievable. You know, diversity in the range is fantastic. They've really nailed the market.
And well-priced, really, too.
Oh, gosh, yes. They're really well-priced. And, you know, when they've got initiatives that, you know, left some of the Australian manufacturers sleeping, caught them off guard. Yes. No two ways about it. I mean, their styling, their innovation, their marketing has been first class. I take my hat off to them. I mean, being an old automotive employee, you know, with many years with Nissan, I look very fondly at what Kia and Hyundai have done in particular.
Mm. I think their initiatives of extending the warranty really was a very powerful move, wasn't it? It shows a level of wisdom, marketing wisdom, that perhaps really caught the other ones napping.
Well, it did. It caught them napping. But what it also says is we have confidence in our brand. Now, if any manufacturer going back 10 years ago was to put up a 7-year warranty, you'd stand up and you'd look at it. I mean, we all... Mm. And look at our monthly bank balance and go, gosh, you know, we need to be careful or we don't need to be careful or whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's an amazing initiative. And it opens up a whole range of things. Moving forward from that topic, when you are, you know, approaching retirement or in retirement and you're looking to replace a vehicle, whether it be new or used, I mean, now that it opens the door to look at whether, and I'm not giving finance advice, and I'm sure that you're not giving financial advice either, but it does open up the door to look at how you finance your vehicle. Do you take the lump sum out of your super, which may be, if you're in a very creative superannuation fund, you know, better than 7, 8, 9, 10, 11%, and take advantage of the low interest rates with your bank, having it secured by your super? I mean, you know, if you can do a deal with a bank and you're paying 4% or something like that, and leave your superannuation loan, maybe that's an option these days. And if you can buy a car that's got a 7-year warranty, well, gosh, you know, you've got a pretty good deal going on.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that's, I think that's something that we should all consider. Buddy, I think that gets us very close to our time this week. Thank you so much for your input. It's a value comment. I'll try and let you off the hook next week.
Hi, sir.
Great show. Thank you.
Oh, good show. I think it's been very good.
And what about next week?
Next week, well, we'll be back again next week, Thursday at 11 o'clock, and we'll have Sam Dickerson back, who was with us last week, talking about advising for funerals, etc., and our resident legal eagle, Andrea Staunton, plus a new guest being Tricia Hill, who will chat to us about financial management and planning for the future. And Chris will be back with all his information about technology. Talk to us about big versus small smartphones. Who says size doesn't matter, Brody?
Well, it's true.
And with the change in photography and video and the need for taking your camera on all your overseas travel.
Well, I don't think
travel.
You do anymore.
I think
they're fantastic.
They are. A smartphone is called that for a reason.
Okay, now the other thing is that I want to announce is, write this down, 0458 789 147. That's 0458 789 147, or you can ring the station to find out that number again. That's an SMS message system that you can send us a message if you say for the aid stage and you would like to ask a question, then in due course we will put that to the people that can give you the answers, and hopefully over time we'll be able to get you the answers to the questions that matter to you.